Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight, right here on WWRB 3.185. You're listening to us tonight, our maiden launch on our new time slot on WWRB on Wednesday night at 10 p.m. every Wednesday night with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. So we're glad to have you aboard. Call a friend and a neighbor and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on there. Tonight, part three, as we conclude the message entitled, Satan's Ride Through the Universe. Now, in Job 1 and 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahweh, and that Satan came also among them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the angels that presented themselves toward Yahweh or to Yahweh included this elusive angel that was actually, he was number two in the hierarchy or the command of the mighty ones. Now, let's just simplify what we're trying to say about Satan. Satan is a created being. The Bible said that he was fair to look upon. So, by the distinctive honor of being very handsome, all the other angels in the hierarchy, they envied him. And the angels that were persuaded by the beauty and the charm and the charisma of Satan, he basically persuaded them to rebel against the high command. Now, the Bible says in the book of Revelations, chapter 7, or chapter 12, verse 7, it says that there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and Michael prevailed. And that old serpent, the devil, was cast out with his angels that rebel with him, and they were chained, according to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelations. They were taken to a place, and here's how the Bible describes it. Now listen to me well as we understand the coded text of the Bible. It says that the angels that rebelled were taken into the deep. Where in the deep? Well, space is very deep. There's literally billions of galaxies. And in our solar system here, it takes light millions of years to travel from one point over to the other. That's how vast just one galaxy is. So you can really comprehend the enormity of this vast place called the deep. Now, we've been talking about the 20 and 12 and Planet X and the point of crossing. And in December the 21st, on 20 and 12, we have the celestial event of the alignment of the perfect halfway point in the Milky Way, where we have this event that only happens once every 26,000 years. Now, that's incredible. So this is a, to say the least, this is very significant in the signs of the heavens. And the Bible tells us to watch for the signs, to keep the signs in our mind, and to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Now we go to the book of Romans, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, and we find that literally someone interfered with our thinking apparatus. Did you know that we only use 10% of our brains? 10% of our brains is being used by our minds. And so then 90% of that lays void for some reason. In science, they don't really know. Well, we know that Adam, in his original state, was a very, very intelligent being. He knew all the botany. He knew all of the species. He knew all of the animals. He knew the earth's positions. He knew mathematical equations. He didn't have to go to the university to graduate with a doctor's degree or some PhD. He was born with this high intelligence, and nobody, it's not recorded that anybody taught him. He knew all this from the very beginning. And yet something has happened in the evolution, and we could say de-evolution, if you will. We have not progressed. We have regressed. Man has not gotten better. He's got worse, as according to the Scriptures, that every evil imaginable thing, Satan has put it in our heart to pursue that. Well, look at our powers. Look at nuclear power. Nuclear power is used for destruction. It's not used in construction. It is used for destruction. And that's the evil nature of man. Look at our utility systems. We could have free energy if we would leave it to man to develop the technology himself and share it with his fellow man. But the problem is that any time or anything that's invented that will help man, that will relieve man, that will make his life easier and better, the governments, the evil governments, they sequester this, use this for their own evil intentions, and keep it from the benefit of the public at large. Well, notice this. In the book of Jude, chapter 6, we find that the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness to the judgment of that great day. As we have said, when the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahweh, Satan came among them, persuaded these angels to leave their first estate, that would be the heavenly abode, if you will. It was all one big happy family up until Satan actually caused a rebellion. That's why they're called rebels. Did you know that the Bible says that rebellion is the same as witchcraft? And the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. In high places. Well, what is a high place? Well, we've talked about in 20 and 12 in the near future that the earth is programmed to enter into and pass through what is known as the photon belt. And by the year 20 and 12, we will be in the beginning stages of entering into this photon belt that will actually literally change, we think, for the better, and we also think for the worst. In other words, we have to choose when we are coming online with the energy that is being programmed to reattach our brain to think and to have peace in our hearts toward our Creator, and we will begin to once again acknowledge Him in all of our ways. But Satan, being the rebel that he is now fighting against it. Let's take into account right now. I do believe that Satan is highly involved in the governments of the world. Did you know the Bible indicates that Satan is coming to the earth when he's loosed? Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven and with a great chain in his hand, and he bound Satan for 1,000 years. Well, when was that, Pastor Buddy? Well, let's look at the scenario here. All right? We know that when the Messiah came, that Satan was loose upon the earth because Satan engaged him. And Satan tempted him. And Satan desired that he would fall and that he would serve Satan and that he would accept Satan's plea and deal that Satan offered him, which was, if you will bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world and you can be the ruler of it. I just want to ascend above the heavens. The ability to communicate with the creative forces and be aware of the relationships to the creative force has been blocked by some evil power. But when the time of fulfillment comes, there is a timeline when Satan is going to be bound. And he will no longer be able to restrict the power of the creative forces of the inner dimensions that is eluding us. Now, why are they spraying? Why do we have chemtrails? Why do we have HAARP? What's going on here? It is a worldwide phenomenon of spraying, and you can't say that it's just a nation trying to control another nation through weather patterns and things. That's not what it's all about. Because some nations that don't even know that they're being sprayed upon and have no indication or relationship to the program, so it must be an exclusive bunch of nations, particularly America and Great Britain and Russia and France and China, and some of the major players on the world scene, Britain, to name a few, they are involved, highly involved, in a destructive prevention of preventing the second coming, if you will, of the Messiah. Now, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, nobody can prevent his coming. Well, let's see here. Let's see if Satan wants to delay or prevent the inevitable. And we look at the scriptures in this way. When there was war in heaven, Satan and his angels fought for the right to procreate with the daughters of men, meaning these male angels, because angels do not have sex or gender. However, they have the ability to come into third dimensional bodies and acquire flesh and blood bodies and live long lives here in the past. It's recorded in the history of the tablets that I told you about in Mesopotamia. It tells of epic journeys and travels of the mighty ones who from heaven came. That's what the word Nephilim is all about. That they fell from heaven. They came down. That means they lowered themselves. And by doing so, they became a victim of getting caught up in flesh, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them, like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, set forth an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. These filthy dreamers defile themselves of the flesh, and they despise dominion, and they speak evil of the dignities or the dignitaries of the heavens. Yet Michael, the archangel, when he was contending with the devil, who disputed about the body of Moses. Now, why did he want the body of Moses? Now we find an event that is recorded in the scriptures that Satan is extremely crafty. He wanted, desired, and asked for the possession of the body of Moses. Now, why? Well, to give you a sense of what the law of Moses was all about. It was the condemning power or the cursing power of the sons of Yahweh, that if they would do good, they would get a reward. If not, they would fall short, and sin is missing the mark. And so Satan desired the law of Moses to continue the delaying tactics that he had, which was to tell Yahweh that none of his sons that had come down here had reached perfection or ever would, and that all of the Adamites had come short and sinned, and therefore couldn't come back into heaven. Now Yahweh, being at a disadvantage, reckoned in his own mind that he himself would have to come, and that he would take it upon himself to die for the sins of Adam and be a perfect offering, and his own blood would sanctify Adam's kind upon the earth, and therefore he would stand in for the inadequacies of the man in the flesh. And yet the Messiah, being in the flesh and yet without sin, offered up a perfect sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Yahweh. Therefore, he opened up the way. Now let's go a little deeper into the mysteries of why the Messiah had to die. Remember what it says? That there were three things that left the body upon the torture stake. Number one, it was water. When he opened up his side, out came water and blood, the Bible said. Well, it says, not by water and blood only, but by the Spirit. Well, the last thing to leave the body was the Spirit. And everybody thinks that God forsook the Son on the cross, as you hear these Christians say, without any understanding of what the whole purpose of the one that came in the flesh, who was literally Yahweh in the flesh body. He couldn't leave himself. The Father would never leave him. He said, I'm not alone, the Father's with me. The Father was the eternal Spirit, and the last thing to leave the body, to let the body of flesh die, was the Spirit. The body would have never died. He could have called 12 legions of angels and redeemed himself from the torture stake if he had been so minded, but that wasn't the plan. The plan was that Satan would kill him, and that the Messiah would go down to where all of the dead people go when they die. The Bible said the Spirit goes back. It goes back into the inner dimensions. Well, just knowing unto Yahweh, the Bible said he went and preached to the souls that was disobedient in the days of Noah. These souls were kept bound by Satan in a psychotronic, electronic, if you will, a spiritual field, force field, that Satan had built and locked in these lost souls that couldn't find their way back to Yahweh. They were denied entrance because they were sinners. So then he broke down the middle wall of partition. He took down the wall between Adam's sons and then for all of those who were living after Adam, after the flood, Yahweh would redeem us all unto himself. Because the Bible said that he was born reconciling the world, that is his people, unto himself. Therefore, Yahweh descended. He didn't ascend, as most people, well, he went back to heaven. He went back to the Father. That was the Father. You say, well, but the Father can't die. Well, he didn't. He's a spirit. The Son died. The flesh part of the three-dimensional man, water, blood, and spirit, is the physical aspect. And then soul, the spirit, and his ability to raise from the dead, which was unheard of. Satan said, no, it ain't possible. But when the Messiah, who left the flesh body, Yahweh himself, went and preached to the souls of disobedient in the days of Noah, he asked Satan, who was the warden of the prison, for the keys of hell and death. And Satan reluctantly had to surrender the keys to the Messiah. And the Messiah took the keys, oh my, praise Yahweh, and he opened up the door, he unlocked it, in other words, behold, I am the door, and by me, if any man will enter in. So then, everyone that was bound in the prison of the lost, who were not worthy, are now made worthy by the blood, and yet they had to reincarnate upon the earth, that's you and me, now in flesh bodies again. The door was opened, the spiritual womb was reset, and we reinvented ourselves through the ability to take upon ourselves a flesh body once again to prove our worthiness, because we all must pass through the womb of time and present ourselves perfect in the face of Yahweh. But when we come back to present ourselves, and the Bible said that Yahweh is not willing that any should perish. But woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. We wanted to be like the world. We wanted to be like the heathen. These are spots in our feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds that are without water, carried about with the winds, and the trees whose fruits are withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, right there it is, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, when Satan was cast out, he was taken to the deep. And ladies and gentlemen, he was put on a wayward planet that would leave our solar system and only appear at the appointed time. For, listen to this, after he was cast out, and after he was bound, then the Bible says, an angel was seen coming down to this planet. Well, who was that angel? That was the Messiah, who had the chain to bind Satan, and he also had the power and the keys to loose Satan and his agents back up on the earth. Now, remember what the Bible says in prophecy? After 2 days, he will revive us. Now, when the Messiah came, there was a binding of Satan. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. All power. When he rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, he had all power. And so that chain, that restraining, until the saints were working their salvation out with fear and trembling, by that time, Yahweh gave us an ample opportunity to reinvent ourselves, literally, and present ourselves perfect before him, so that we must, because the Bible said, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. So then we came forth to serve him with fear and trembling, considering ourselves because of the examples of those who prophesied of these who are clouds without water, carried about with every wind of darkness, doctrine, whose fruit withered, twice dead, plucked up by the root, waging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. So then Satan became a prisoner for a specific amount of time. Now the Bible gives you that amount of time. The Bible says in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation that Satan was bound by the chain, the restraining order, that was issued from heaven by the man that had all power in heaven and earth. He ordered Satan bound for 1,000 years. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, if Satan's bound, man, I'd hate to see him when he's loose. Well, you will. You are only affected through the carnal mind of Satan's power right now. You wait until that elusive one that was in the Garden of Eden, that impregnated Eve, that got a son called Cain out of the womb of Eve. You wait till he comes back as he was in the book of Job chapter 1 and chapter 3, going to and fro throughout the earth. You wait until he comes back, because the angel warned the inhabitants when the chain was cut in the future. It warned the inhabitants of the earth, said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan is going to come down among you. Wow. Enter the 14th verse of the book of Jude. And Enoch, who was the emissary, if you read the book of Enoch, they don't want you to read it, but you should, because it tells of these wondrous events of these angels, these what we call angels. These are just intelligent beings, more intelligent than we are, who had long lives. And you can bet one thing, Satan is a very wise and crafty one, because he's been around from the very beginning. Well, Michael and Angel, and Gabriel, and Raphael, and all the other angels that's mentioned in the book of Enoch. Enoch was an emissary employed by the fallen angels after they were cast out and they had to leave heaven. They asked Enoch to intervene on their behalf, to see if the other angels and Yahweh would take them back into the hierarchy and receive them back for their transgressions. After Enoch was taken to heaven, the Bible said he was literally taken to heaven on a starship. Where is heaven, Pastor Buddy? Well, we know it's up there or out there somewhere on a planet system that we don't know about. But the mighty ones knew where it was at. And they had the run of going to and fro in the heavens. That's why that we named this series Satan Riding Through the Heavens. He had the run of the heavens and the run of the earth. All the other angels had the run of heaven and run of the... He was the tallest, most handsome in his tree. This is a code language, symbolic of angelic beings in the garden. And they were described in ambiguous language, metaphoric language, as trees in the garden. And the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, that Lucifer fell from heaven. And in the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah, it says he was in the Garden of Eden, and he was a beautiful tree, and he was handsome, and all the other angels envied him. And so then, by being who he was, and having the power of persuasion, he even talked Eve. Now, the Bible said Adam was not deceived. Satan caught the woman by herself. She's a weaker vessel. And he enticed her, and he beguiled her. Look up that word beguile that Paul uses in the book of Corinthians. Not like Eve, who was beguiled. It has sexual connotation attributed to that word beguile. And when the word eat is inserted into the Bible, you think she ate something off of a natural tree. That ain't what happened. Satan had a family tree, and Eve's body craved the food, which is the sperm, for life to procreate. Her carnal nature was aroused. Satan opened her eyes to reveal that she could have children from her womb. She could be the mother of children. And she became the mother of all living. But the problem is, she became the mother of good and the mother of evil. Because she ate the food, this food from Satan. Eve was made upright, and she was a good person, because she was a part of Adam, who was the son of Yahweh. So Satan, you see what happened here? He literally infused his genetic blood in with the blood of Yahweh and crossbred to get these hybrids called Nephilim, those who from heaven came. And they produced giants. And their mind was continuously, instead of being good, which is the way that Adam's seed should have been, it became evil. Now you see the nature of where we're at and the dilemma that we're in and the position it caused Yahweh to rectify and cleanse his seed. He had to keep a perfect bloodline without the seed of the snake, the serpent, from entwining into the genetics, because that's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen, is a genetic warfare going on right now at this moment. And the war continues even to this day, as we have now in secret bases under the earth, in secret locations, where these evil ones who have been loosed, and they've been loosed since the 40s, is to coincide with the event of 1948, when Israel, that little sandbox, Israeli, I call it, when it officially, through the nations, became and they called it the land of Israel, or the place of the holy people, and all the ones that went back over there were not holy people. They were seeds of Satan and Cain, who were very wise and crafty. And the Bible says in Revelations 2 and 9, I know them that say they're Jews and are not. They went right back over the Ashkenazis and the Sephardic, which had no blood relationship to the house of Shem, which is the bear of the 13 tribes of the house of Israel. And yet the dumb Christians who have their brains taken away through genetic manipulation of the fallen ones, and blindness in part has happened to Israel, you see, they're blind. And they're supporting the theory that Satan is going to come back and he's going to set in a temple. Well, notice this. This is Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? Now, how did he weaken them? He sowed his seed, the tare. Instead of becoming a good tree, it became a tree of possibly being good or possibly being evil. But in Genesis 6, Yahweh looked at man's record and he said, their mind is continuously on evil. So Satan dominated through the carnal mind and the spirit man was suppressed. You know, if the Spirit tells you to fast and pray for 40 days like it did me, and your body is given to appetite and you want to eat, now which one is going to win? Oh, I don't know that the fast that I have proposed to take. And I said, I'll start my fast in the morning. And when the morning come, food, I demanded food. I just couldn't start. We're weak. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak to do the good things it's chosen. Well, therefore, man had to have some help. He needed something that he didn't have and enter in what we describe as the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that the Messiah brought down with him on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, it was the booster, if you will, the indwelling of the Spirit to make you strong. Peter was weak and denied him until he received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, and then he never denied him. He even died for him. Paul, when he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when he was repented and was baptized in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, calling on the name of Yahweh, he was filled and endued with power from on high. He never denied him. He died. All of the apostles died in faith, having received the power unction of the Holy Spirit, or the promise of the Comforter. And what did Satan say? In verse 13 of Isaiah 14, he said, thou hast said in your heart, this is Yahweh talking to Satan, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Well, Satan wanted to dwell over God's habitation. He wanted full authority. So therefore, when he created this genetic bungled mess that we got on planet Earth. Remember, the tares and the wheat are now growing together. And only the wisdom of Yahweh knows them that are His and how to redeem them and separate the wheat from the tares. But He said, let them all grow together until the end of the world. And here we are in the end of the world. Notice this, verse 14. I will send above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. In other words, He was put in the pit, this wayward planet called Marduk, by the ancient events that was left in the tablets of Mesopotamia, or what we know as the Sumerian civilization, which left epic tales of the adventure of the beginning of time. You see, Genesis 1 is not the beginning of time. Genesis 1 is the restart of the second world age. Adam was not the first set of Adams that were here. You say, well, how can that be, Pastor Buddy? Well, let's look at the Scripture. When Yahweh created Adam, He told him to be fruitful and replenish the earth. Replenish means to replace something that had been here prior to that. The Bible didn't say that the earth was created in darkness. It said that the earth was created and became dark and void. Became. Became is a matter of time. Look here in 28:2, Ezekiel. Son of man, say to the prince of Tyrus, this is Satan now, thus saith Yahweh, because thy heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god, and I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the sea. Well, let's go to Jerusalem. Isn't it every religious foundation hope, not only of the Christians, that Christ is going to come back and sit in the temple, showing Himself that He is God? Isn't it the hope of the Jews who have not acknowledged that the Messiah has come, but they're now saying that His coming is imminent? The one that they're looking for is supposed to come. Well, isn't it also of the major religion of Islam? Aren't they saying that Jerusalem is in the holy mosque, that their Messiah is going to come, Allah, and sit in the temple? So the three major religions, this is what all the fighting's about. This is what the trouble of the earth is right now, that these deceived religious people are now decrying. They're saying that the Messiah is due to come. The Christians have acknowledged one that did come. The Jews are waiting on one to come. And Islam says that we will create a place for Allah to sit when we conquer all of the people of the earth through a jihad. And so then, the wars of religious dogma continue down to this present day. Now notice this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. It says that there is someone that's going to come upon the earth. Now listen to me well. Wouldn't this fit the Christian, Jewish, and the Islamic belief system? If someone with great power, more powerful than the Pope, more powerful than the evangelistic preachers of the Christian church, more powerful than the Ayatollahs that promote Islam, Mohammed, more powerful than Mohammed, wouldn't it be wonderful if someone would come in peacefully and work miracles and signs and wonders so much that they would deceive the very elect apostle? Well, that's what Paul, the Mighty One, is talking about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now look at this. This is the scenario. Satan is coming to this earth peacefully. You say, how's that going to happen, Pastor Buddy? I've never heard this before. Well, no one has seen Satan since the Garden of Eden. We know that he's around. He's called the tempter. But he works through the carnal mind of the people because we have an inherent nature of Satan in us. We have a part of his genetics because, you see, he got the firstborn. He got Cain. And so then everything that came through the womb was typed and shadowed through the mold, if you will, the pattern of a satanic body that has the ability to think both good and evil. And it wasn't meant to be that way. If Eve would have had the child strictly from Yahweh, being Abel as a type of the son of good, as opposed to Cain, the type of the son of evil. Cain was of the wicked one, of course. It says that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Cain is of the wicked one. So Satan fathered Cain, Yahweh fathered Abel. Satan's son killed Abel, Yahweh's son, and Yahweh had to have a replacement. Now, what did he do? He told Adam to know Eve. Adam knew Eve only after she had Cain and Abel. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, the Bible says that when Eve, her eyes were open after she laid with Satan, and she laid with Adam. That's correct. But she was already pregnant. It didn't matter how many times that Adam laid with her until she had these first two sons, which were twins, which one belonged to Yahweh and one belonged to Cain. Adam didn't have any children. Until the fifth chapter of Genesis is the first recorded son that Adam had. His name was Seth, a replacement. So then, Yahweh took the sons of Adam and tried to keep them genetically pure so that he himself could come through the lineage of Adam, the son of Yahweh, that Yahweh could come through his own kind and his own blood type and reproduce the Messiah, the promised son. And he kept saying to Adam, I will redeem you. The Bible said Adam was not deceived. So Adam was a good person because he was a son of Yahweh. He couldn't be deceived because he knew. But see, Eve was a byproduct, a hybrid, or a part of Adam, and she was a weaker vessel, and when Satan caught her, notice this, Ezekiel, in chapter 28, verse 2, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus saith Yahweh, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said that I am of God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God. That's what Yahweh told him. He said, though you're a God, you're going to die like a man, Satan. If you do this, I'm going to curse you and you're going to die. Now, Satan has worked feverishly to breed out the curse of Genesis 3, 14, and 15 that was placed upon his seed. And by placing the seed of the curse of death upon Satan's seed, Yahweh's seed had to die also. You see how far it was? So that created a dilemma. Yahweh himself would have to come and offer up a perfect sacrifice to redeem his sheep. And Yahweh said, you're not my sheep. He told Satan's sons, these were the Pharisees that were out of the house of Judah, mixed with the blood of Shua, the Canaanite woman, of Genesis 38. And I've told you about it many times. Notice in Ezekiel 28:13. It said he had perfect beauty. What if somebody with perfect beauty that has been around since the Garden of Eden and before, Satan was here long before the Garden of Eden, and he was adorned with all this precious stones and he had wisdom and knowledge and he came in peacefully and the whole world needs a Savior and the Christian church is preaching that Jesus Christ is coming, which is in itself a false name. It is a name of blasphemy that's been placed in the Bible by the whore system of the satanic church of the Holy Roman Empire. Yahweh was excluded from the New Testament. They changed his name from Yahweh to Jesus, the Greek god of the mythical age of Zeus. and so forth, Satan, by his deception, getting you to call on a false name, because the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the true name will be saved. Well, Satan didn't want that. He knew that. So then, he made it very hard for you to find your way back to Yahweh, because the Bible said, see and ask for the old path, and when you find it, walk in, you'll find rest for yourself. The Bible said, if the gospel's hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Now, what do you mean by that? He meant exactly what he said, that you are destroyed according to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. You're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So therefore, the principal sum of the matter is to get knowledge. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so, and thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and you walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Wait till Satan comes on the earth, the Christians and the Jews, and Islam is going to be party to participating, because when he comes, he's going to unite all these warring religions and bring peace. Well, is that the way the Bible says that Yahweh is going to come back? No. Yahweh is going to come back in flame and fire with vengeance, taking vengeance on them that do not know him, those that have not served him, those that have took the mark and bowed their knee to Satan and worshiped Satan, the deceived one. Yahweh's coming back to eradicate the tares, and he's coming back in flame and fire with vengeance. The angels are going to come back to destroy Satan, to literally put him in a pit for the final time, to actually herd up these fallen angels for the final event. Armageddon is going to be fought right here. Thou wast perfect. Verse 15 of Ezekiel 28. Listen to me. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. And by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. You know what Satan's mission is, ladies and gentlemen? To kill. To steal. He wants to steal all the sheep away. He wants to deceive you. He wants you to miss heaven. He wants you to quit using the name of Yahweh, the most powerful name in the universe. Hallelujah. He don't want you to use that. He don't want that name in your forehead. He wants a false name, a name that seems right. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, covering cherub. Well, when Satan comes, is he not, according to Paul in Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, he will oppose this one that's coming. This is Satan now. He's not going to be God, but he's going to be looking like God. He's going to do miracles like God. He's going to be the what the Christians think is the return of the Messiah. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, when Jesus comes back, we're going to be raptured out. We don't have to go through no tribulation. Well, notice this. When Satan comes with all of his chariots, and people want to volunteer to leave and go back to his planet, he's going to oblige them, because that's his mission, to kill them, steal them, and destroy them. And they're going to unknowingly fall right into the theological plan of Christianity, which is fostering a rapture of the church. And Satan is going to oblige them, and he's going to sit and mingle again in the earth, knowing he's got a short time. He knows he's got to get this work done quick, because he knows that after his coming, Then, after Satan's coming. You see, the Messiah's done been here once, in bodily form. Well, Satan has never been here. But in 20 and 12, the psychotronic, or the electronic fence that has been built, the restraining, the chain, this gate will be lifted, And then Satan and his angels will have free reign once again to come up on the earth and do Satan's bidding, which is to deceive the very elect. Thine heart is lifted up because of your beauty. Everybody's going to say, oh my God, I've never seen... You talk about people going crazy at an Elvis Presley concert. This man is going to be 1,000 times more charismatic than Elvis Presley ever dared to be. He's going to be able to literally stop planes flying in midair at his command. He's going to be literally able to call fire out of heaven and destroy any building that he picks out in names. And people are going to be amazed at his ability. He's going to bring a cure for death. They will pray for death in the days of Yahweh's coming, but death will flee from them because Satan will bring about the technology of miracles and medicine and the technology that we've always dreamed about and you were capable of getting on the good side. Satan is going to bring it on the evil side, and people are going to trade their liberties and give their allegiance to a false god that is sitting in the temple of God who opposes Yahweh himself and is going to teach the kings of the earth. Listen to this now, and I'm closing out. He's going to teach the kings of the earth, the mighty ones, the presidents of the heads of government. All of them are reptilians anyway. All of them belong to the bloodline of Satan. All of them are Cain's sons. Everyone that's running the government, very few good people, there's a few good ones here and there. But most of the people that love the chief seats are out of the house of Cain, of the Edomite reptilian race that has been around since Cain. So therefore, Satan, being made fair by the multitude of his branches, so all the trees of the Garden of Eden that were in the Garden of Eden, they envied him. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, because you have lifted up yourself in height, and he hath shot up his top among the thick broths, and his heart is lifted up in his height, I will bring him down to hell. Revelations 12 and 9, as I close out. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Because I saw an angel come down from heaven, and he had the key to the bottomless pit. He opened the door, he unchained Satan, and loosed him upon the earth. And Satan is coming, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Three times it's mentioned. Well, I got to get off here. You're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, and I've enjoyed being with you in this message tonight, part three of Satan Rides Through the Heavens. You can have this whole series if you want to ask for it by name, Satan Rides Through the Heavens. Three-part series, 3 hours in the teaching of the great deception of 20 and 12. You see, everybody's promoting that the end of the world is coming in 2012. It's not the end of the world. It's the beginning of things. It is the beginning of the last days, where Satan and his angels will come upon the earth for a short time. And 1,000 years could be one day with Yahweh, and one day could be 1,000 years. So if he reigns here 1,000 years, it could be a short time. And he knows he's got a short time. Satan knows that. He knows he's on a fast schedule. Because his appointment with destiny of defeat and destruction prophesied by Yahweh, and to avert that, he needs to get the seed of Yahweh, Yahweh's own children, as hostages, hold them hostage like he did the sons of Adam in the days of Noah that were kept in prison, and Yahweh went down in his death. And during his time in the earth, he released, opened up the way for us to return to him, and thus our long journey back home. You know we're pilgrims and strangers here upon the earth. You can call me, and I'm live tonight here on WWRB 3.185 on March the 4th of 2009. You can call me at area code 423 262-6-2172. Now that's area code 423-626-2172. Or you can write me simply by addressing your cards in envelopes. Just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a wonderful experience here tonight to know you and to appreciate you and to love you with this message. I hope and trust that Yahweh has blessed you and that you will receive the blessings and that you will overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by His genetic mercy, and His grace that abides forever. If you don't know Him today and you'd like to make peace in your heart, just write Pastor Buddy and say, Pastor Buddy, what must I do to be saved? Peter said unto them in Acts chapter 2, verse 30, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins. Get that name. Get that knowledge of that name in your forehead. That means you take in the knowledge. You're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. But if you take the knowledge of His name, you apply to your sins. You remove them, then you are a washed candidate, able and acceptable to enter into the grace of the living King. Yahweh bless you. And I'll see you next Monday night, live on WWRB at 9 o'clock every Monday night on WWRB on the transmitting Jewel of the South right here in the great state of Tennessee. On Wednesday night, every Wednesday night from this maiden launch of our first program that we've done on Wednesday night on a new time slot. We're no longer on WWCR 5070. We're now exclusively transmitting here on WWRB two nights a week and possibly a third week in the works if we can work out the details. Y'all announce that in the future. Well, Yahweh bless you. Let's go to the mountaintop with Yahweh.
I could see the angels' faces, and they hear your sweet voice. Don't